is good to see you here this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. On Sunday mornings, we've been preaching through the book of Genesis, and this morning we're going to take a break and want us to go to Hebrews chapter 12 today. And this is one of the passages that is just should be a staple for every Christian. We ought to revisit it from time to time to remind us to be faithful and to live for the Lord Jesus and to keep up the Christian race. So Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, would you stand with me as we read God's word together? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. And we pray that you would take your holy word and your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts from your holy word, your holy truth, that we may apply it to our lives. We may walk in the path that you have set before us and that we may run the race with endurance. We may please you in all that we seek to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Kyle Maynard was born March the 24th, 1986, with a condition known as congenital amputation. His parents were Scott and Anita, and they had no idea when their son was born that he would have this disability. But they made a critical decision early on to drive him to be as independent as possible, beginning with what Kyle calls his pursuit of normalcy. Now understand, his condition means that he basically has two elbows. He has no hands. He has no fingers. But with two elbows, he can type up to 50 words a minute. That exceeds my capabilities. On a normal keyboard, he eats and writes without any adaptation at all to his limbs. He drives a vehicle that has very little modification, and he lives on his own in a three-story townhouse in Atlanta, Georgia. His athletic journey began as an 11-year-old who wanted to wrestle, and a coach that gave him an opportunity to try. And after losing 35 straight matches his first and second year in high school, Maynard, with his iron will and parents who wouldn't let him give up on himself, found a way to win 36 varsity matches his senior year. He just wouldn't give up. He defeated several state place finishers and state champions during his final season, his senior year in high school. He also began weight training at the same age, and after a very modest start, he attained the white title of GNC's World's Strongest Teen. Listen to this, by bench pressing 23 repetitions of 240 pounds. Most of us could not even lift 240 pounds, let alone put it on your chest and lift it. In February of 2009, with leather straps and chains attached to his arms, he successfully lifted 420 pounds. One of his desires was to be able to become the first man to ever hike on all fours to reach the roof of Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro, bear crawling to 19,340 feet. Now just think, guys and gals, this is almost 4 miles high. 19,000 feet, you're almost 4 miles in the air. Bonnie and I just got back. We spent a week at Winter Park, Colorado. It might have been better in Florida. And where we were staying was about 7,000 feet, but there are places we were 7,000 or 8,000 feet, and you do the math. A mile high is 5,280 feet. You remember that? Okay. And we discovered that just walking up the steps sometimes was a labor at the place we were staying. And it took us almost a week to get acclimated. The air was thin, and our sinuses bled all week and all that stuff, you know. It was tough. But just imagine a young man with a disability bear crawling on all fours 4 miles to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Joining Kyle in his quest were two inspiring veterans, former Marine officer Chris Hadsall and Army Staff Sergeant Sandra Ambote. I can't remember her last name. But they had battled through adversity of their own to reach the peak. The purpose of their quest was simply this: to send a message to the veteran community and to kids with disabilities all around the world that no barrier is too great to be overcome. No barrier is too great to be overcome. Bernie Goldberg summed it up best when he said, "Kyle's taken away the right to complain from the rest of us." Kyle Maynard is an example of someone who never quits, never gives up, and believes that anything is possible. I don't know about his Christian faith, but I want to tell you, we need to learn something from Kyle Maynard. We need to never quit, never give up, and we need to believe that anything is possible. The writer of Hebrews compares the Christian life to a race. But it is not a 100-yard dash. It's not a sprint. It's not jumping hurdles for a short distance. It is a marathon. It is a race that lasts and lasts and lasts from the moment we are born again to the moment we leave this world. We are in a race. We are in a marathon. The writer of Hebrews is writing to a bunch of Jewish Christians who have been dispersed all over the world because of their persecution. No doubt many of them had thought about turning their back on this newfound faith and just giving up, just quitting. So the book of Hebrews is a book of encouragement to those who are going through trials and difficulties, and all of us face them. We have trials and difficulties in life. But the writer of Hebrews gives us both the method and the motive for running this race, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. First of all, I want to talk about the method of running the race. The method of running the race. Look at what it says there in chapter 12, verse 1. "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And there's the method of running the race. We are to run with endurance. We are to run with endurance. Endurance is the constant fortitude in the face of hardship. This determines what our faith is really made of. If we are only Christ followers when everything is going good, we're not amounting to much. The question is, are we going to be Christ followers when times get tough? And I want to tell you, I believe that it is when times get tough that our faith really counts. It is our faith that sustains us in those difficult days, in those dark hours, in those moments of despair, because we have someone we can lean on. And His name is Jesus. But for a lot of people, their faith becomes weak in the moment of trial and difficulty. And the question I have for all of us, will we keep going when times are hard, or will we quit? Bonnie and I, one of our first so-called dates, I guess, was at Hershey Park, Pennsylvania. It is a place of, it's like a theme park, like Six Flags, and But the minute you drive into Hershey Park, you smell chocolate. You know why? That's where they make chocolate. The streetlights in Hershey, Pennsylvania are made like little Hershey kisses all through Hershey, Pennsylvania. Did you know that Milton Hershey had a long path to the top of the chocolate industry? He dropped out of school. He dropped out of school in the fourth grade. He took an apprenticeship with a printer only to be fired. He then became an apprentice to a candy maker in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and after studying the business for 4 years, he started three unsuccessful candy companies in Philadelphia, Chicago, and New York. All of them failed. But he was not about to give up. So he moved back to Lancaster, began the Lancaster Caramel Company, or Caramel Company, depending on how you pronounce it. And he used his unique recipe, which he'd come across during his earlier travels, which became a huge success. Hershey, who was always looking ahead, believed that chocolate products had a much greater future than caramel. And so he sold his company for $1 million in 1900. Wow. 1900. That's nearly $25 million in 2008 dollars. It's probably about $20 million in 2016 dollars. You'll get that later. And at that point, he started the Hershey Company, which brought milk chocolate, which was previously a Swiss delicacy, to the masses. Not only did Hershey overcome failure and accomplish his goals, but he managed to do it close to home. He created hundreds of jobs for Pennsylvanians, but he also used some of his money to build houses, churches, schools, cementing his status as a legend in the Keystone State. You see, he did not quit because of failure. He just kept going. He had a dream. He had a vision. And he kept going until he became a success. Do you know George Washington? You know who he was, right? Our very first president. He fought 9 major battles in the Revolutionary War, and he lost 6 of them. 9 major battles in the Revolutionary War. He lost 6 of those battles, but he won the war because he didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't stop. Kyle Maynard. He lost 35 of his first wrestling matches, but he never gave up. You see, persistence is the key. When you are walking in the Christian life, when you are running the Christian race, it's not the one who finishes first. The goal is just to finish. And to finish, as we talked about last week, to finish well. Don't start well and finish badly. Start well, finish well. Stay faithful to the fight, faithful to the faith, faithful to the finish. Run with endurance. Stick to the stuff. Stay with your hand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Run with endurance. The second thing I want to say about the method of running the race is run without hindrance. In verse 1, he says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. Notice he doesn't say sins, he says sin, which so easily entangles us. Now, some would say that he was simply referring to sin in a generic matter. But I believe that all of us probably have one particular sin that tends to cause us to stumble. There's one thing that usually comes back to haunt you over and over again. For some people, it's an addiction. It may be a food addiction. It may be a drug addiction. It may be an alcohol addiction. It may be a sexual addiction. It may be a pornography addiction. It may be any kinds of addiction. It may be an addiction to power. It may be an addiction to pleasure. It may be an addiction to just status. But sometimes those addictions, they keep coming back over and over again. Even when you think you've got them under control and you've got power over them through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, they keep coming back. And the Bible says, let us lay aside the sin which so easily besets us, which so easily ensnares us, which so easily trips us up. We are told that runners in the Old Testament or in New Testament times, they would run. They didn't run with their long robes. They would take their long robes off and they would gird up their garments to where they would run without hindrance so that they didn't get tangled up. Have you ever tried to run in a dress? A long dress? I don't think many of us guys have ever tried to do that. But if you had long robes and tried to run in them, you would find the robes tripping you up, causing you to stumble. And the writer of Hebrews compares that to sin that we cling to in our life that causes us to stumble and causes us to fall and causes us to halt our run for the Christian race. You see, there's a weakness that Satan will use to tempt us from time to time. And we think we've gotten rid of it, but it is that besetting sin. It is that weakness in our flesh. It is that sin that will entangle us and ensnare us. It is that sin that will weigh us down. When I was younger, I lived on a farm, and during the winter months especially, from time to time, we would do trapping. We had different types of trapping that we would do, but the goal was always to tempt an animal to come into our snare, into our trap. And we had different methods for doing it, but that trap was there for one reason, and it was to ensnare, to entrap the animal. And my friend, sin is there for one reason, and Satan uses it to ensnare us, to entrap us, and he does it for our destruction, not for our good. And God wants us to get rid of that sin. He wants us to be overcomers. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by sin. He doesn't want us to be taught by society what's right and what's wrong. He wants us to be taught by His holy word. I read an article from Facts and Trends this week on some statistics on what society thinks is okay, morally okay. And I've discovered that our society is not where God's word is. Sex outside of marriage for most of society is okay. Homosexuality for most of our society is okay. But according to God's word, that's not okay. Living together prior to marriage or just forgetting about marriage altogether, society says is okay. But God's word says it's not okay. It's not okay. He condemns fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. He condemns adultery, which is sex with an individual who's not your marriage partner. The Bible condemns homosexuality, which is sex with a member of the same sex. The Bible condemns all those things. And I don't care what society has to say about it. God's word condemns it. And it's not okay with God. And when we put our stamp of approval on the very things that God says is not right, then what we do is forfeit a relationship with God. And it's sad to me that our society wants to pursue the things that would bring them down rather than pursue a relationship with God. The Bible says, lay aside the sin which so easily besets you that hinders you, that traps you, that ensnares you, that trips you up. Satan desires to do the same thing to us. If he cannot ensnare us, he will certainly try to slow us down. He wants to put a burden and guilt upon us that will keep us from being effective in our walk with Christ. Do you realize that the typical running shoe weighs between 12 to 14 ounces? That doesn't sound like a whole lot, does it? 12 to 14 ounces. Especially when you put one on each foot. I mean, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. But when professional marathoners wear shoes and run in them, they only weigh about 6 ounces. You know why? Because they know that 6 ounces makes a difference when you're running over 26 miles in a marathon. It makes a huge difference in your ability to endure. And what they have learned in the physical realm, we need to learn in the spiritual realm. What is weighing you down in running the Christian race? Is it a besetting sin? Is it guilt that causes you to feel like a failure so that you just give up? Is it pride or lack of faith? What keeps hindering you from running the Christian race? And I want to say to you, be faithful. to the fight, faithful to the faith, faithful to the finish. Keep running the race. Don't give up. Don't quit. God's Word has given us the method for running the race. Run with endurance and run without hindrance. But not only do we have a method of running the race, we also have the motivation for running the race. We have a motivation for running the race. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, anytime you see the word therefore, you've heard me say this before, you always ask the question, what's it there for? And it always refers to something that it's previously been written. Therefore, since we are encompassed by such a cloud of witnesses, what cloud of witnesses is he talking about? We'll go back to chapter 11. Chapter 11. By faith. And he starts all the way, verse 4 of chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed. And he goes on. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. He goes on to talk about the walls of Jericho. And verse 32, he mentions Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And he's talking about these individuals sitting up in heaven watching us run the Christian race. And he says, you're to run, and part of your motivation to run the Christian race is that you have those who are witnesses, those who have gone before you. You have these witnesses who are up in heaven cheering you on. They have run the race before you, and they are watching you, and they are cheering you on. They're in the stands. They're like the spectators at a football game. They're cheering you on, especially if they're rooting for the home team. They're cheering you on. And he says, take these witnesses and let them be motivation for your life. These martyrs have gone before us. Not only those of the Old Testament faith, but our forefathers, our relatives, those who have gone before us. I stand before you today because I had a father who was faithful. I had a mother who was faithful, who taught me the things of God, who led me to Jesus. My dad was a pastor. For 40 years, he served in ministry. He died at the age of 75. He retired at the age of 70. And he was faithful to the very end. And I cannot tell you how many people he led to Christ. I can't tell you how many people he baptized. But I want you to know it was a bunch. He never pastored a large church. Not any of the churches he ever pastored exceeded 100 in size. But my friends, he made an impact in every church he ever served in. And he set an example for me. My dad's in heaven cheering me on. When I want to quit, he cheers me on. My mom died this year. She was the one that taught me about Jesus. I remember sitting in her lap when I was small, reading those Bible stories in that big Bible story book, too heavy for me to even lift. And I remember her telling me these stories and teaching me about faith in Christ. And it was my mom who began to talk to me about Jesus one Saturday morning. She was washing dishes and I was rubbing the water off. We didn't have dishwashers back then. We had kids. She was washing, I was drying, and putting them in the cupboard. And I began to cry and I began to weep. And she said, why are you crying? And I said, I'm afraid what will happen to me if I die. And she said, why are you afraid? I said, because I'm not sure I would go to heaven. And she began to talk to me about Jesus. And she and my dad together led me to faith in Christ one Saturday morning while we were washing dishes. My mom's in heaven today cheering me on. When I get discouraged, when I get weary, I had a grandfather on my mom's side of the family who was a preacher of the gospel. On Easter Sunday, 1973, he died of a heart attack while preaching in the pulpit. His desire was that he would always be able to serve the Lord, and he wanted to die serving the Lord. Now, I'm not sure his church he was preaching in that Sunday was so thankful for his prayer. Kind of traumatic for them, but God answered my grandfather's prayer. He let him go serving the Lord. on an Easter Sunday. My dad, my grandfather on my dad's side, he was a deacon in his church, and they lived a couple of miles from the church, and he would get there before anybody else was there, just a little country church. They had a pot-bellied stove in the middle of the church that heated the whole church house. He would get there long before anybody else did. He would carry a bucket of coal, and he would start the fire and make sure the fire was warm and the building was warm before anybody got there. And he did that for years, just a deacon in the church. It's because of guys like him, and they stand in heaven. And when I get discouraged and I get weary and I want to quit, I hear Grandpa Hell, "Don't quit, son. Don't quit. Don't quit." I hear Grandpa Cheney, "Don't quit, son. Don't quit." I hear my dad, "Don't quit, son. Don't quit." I hear my mom, "Don't quit, son. Don't quit." I got to keep going. You got to keep going. You've got people cheering for you. Don't you stop. Derek Ribbon was a participant in the 1992 Olympics. During his career, he held the British record for the 400-meter sprint. And he won gold medals in the 4x400-meter relay at the World Championships, the European Championships, and the Commonwealth Games. But he is best remembered for his performance in the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, because he was running that 400-meter race, and in the midst of his run, he tore his hamstring. And he could hardly walk. But he fought through the pain, and he wanted to finish the race. But as he came around the corner, his father ran out of the stands, put his arm around his son. There was no hope of winning the race, but he just wanted to finish the race. And with the help of his father, they walked to the finish line. My friends, of all the witnesses we have, the Heavenly Father is there to help us and to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to walk with us, and to lead us to the finish line. And that's the last thing I want to say. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. The Bible says as we are running this race, we need to, verse 2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And he gives us this example. He's the one, the Bible says, with the joy he endured the cross. With joy, he set his face to the cross. It was not an easy thing to do. The cross was not. But the Bible says he endured it with joy. It says he is the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. He is the one who is our companion. He is the one who walks beside us. He is our source of strength. He is our help, and he is our hope. So when we get discouraged, we not only have the witnesses who cheer us on from heaven, my friends, we have the Lord Jesus who puts his arms around us and walks us to the finish line. He walks with us to the finish line, hand in hand. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thus said the Lord Jesus. Come to him. He will lift you up. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. When you get weary, when you get tired, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep walking. Keep running. And the Lord Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be by your side. He will be your constant companion and your friend. And keep your eyes on him. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the difficulty. Don't look at the circumstances. Look at the Savior and keep running. Keep walking until he returns. I conclude with this. Kyle Mayner made that trek up Mount Kilimanjaro. It took him 2 days to do so. And he said that he was within 900 feet of the summit. 900 feet. He said, "I really wanted to quit." He said, "I was discouraged. I was defeated." He kept looking at how much farther he had to go. But then he looked back on how far he had come. And he said, I can't turn back now. Sometimes, my friends, we look forward to how far we have to go. I don't know if I can keep going. Just look back and see how far you've come and say, I can't turn back now. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. I got to keep on. I got to keep on keeping on. Keep your eyes on the goal. Take one step at a time. Let me say to you, don't focus on how hard the journey is or how difficult the pass or how many obstructions on the trail. Focus on the Savior. He is your companion. Enjoy the journey, not just the destination. I had to start riding a motorcycle to understand that truth. When you ride a motorcycle, my friends, it's not the destination that's the joy. It's the journey. It's the journey. It's the journey. That's why I enjoy riding a motorcycle so much. Somebody says, you ride your motorcycle this week? Yeah. Where did you go? I don't know. We just took off. And whatever road looked good, we went down. Because it's not about the destination. It's just about the journey. And my friends, the Christian life is the same way. There is a destination. It's called heaven. But my friends, until we get to heaven, the journey is just as important because we have a companion. His name is Jesus. And we need to enjoy the journey. We need to enjoy heaven before we get to heaven. Know that Jesus is more concerned about your character than your comfort. And sometimes he allows trials to come our way so that we can learn to trust him more fully and enjoy his presence more intimately. Hear that. Hear that. Sometimes Jesus allows trials to come our way so that we can enjoy his company more intimately. Grow in our Christian faith and depend upon him, trust him more completely. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you in this Christmas, or in this Thanksgiving season as we approach Christmas. I thank you for coming to this earth. The greatest gift that is ever given to mankind is the gift of your salvation, the gift of yourself. And I pray that we would never take that for granted. And in this season of Thanksgiving, Lord, help us to be thankful for what you've done for us and your promise to us. And help us to live for you until you come. Speak to our hearts now, Lord Jesus. It's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen.